إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة. اللهم صل وسلم سلاما وصلاة دائمين متلازمين على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وعلينا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. أما بعد، عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله تعالى وطاعته. We express our praise and gratitude to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His aid, guidance and forgiveness. We seek refuge by Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our sinful deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides to the straight path, then none can misguide. And whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, then will not be misguided. We bear witness that there is nothing to be worshipped besides Allah the Most High alone with our partners. And we bear witness that His Messenger and Prophet Muhammad has delivered the message, conveyed the trust and advised His Ummah, His nation. O Allah, send Your eternal praise and blessings upon our beloved leader, our Prophet Muhammad, his family, his companions, and upon those who follow the guidance until the Day of Judgment, and upon us with Your mercy, O Most Merciful. To follow this service of Allah, advise as well as myself to have consciousness in regards to Allah the Most High at all times, and to obey His commands. When we think about our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being our best guide and example, most of the time we think of him as a guide for us when it comes to rituals, when it comes to salah, to siyam, zakat, and so on. Sometimes we also think of him as a guide when it comes to leadership, whether that's civil or military. And we think of his leadership, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in different aspects. But a lot of times, we don't contemplate enough on him being a father, or how he dealt with children. And for some reason, we are at all in wonder why we have lost the youth. For the most part, the youth are absent from the masjid. Alhamdulillah, we see a few of them here today. But for the most part, the youth are absent from the masjid, from the masajid. And they are absent from the Muslim community just in general. And we keep thinking, why? How can we get them back? What can we do to get them interested into Islam? What can we do to get them to identify or feel that they identify with Islam? But we fail to look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's huda, his guidance as far as how to deal with children, how to deal with the youth. A lot of times we talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's compassion, forbearance, and just his character sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we fail to put that into practice. We fail to adapt attitude toward our children into our own lives. We just keep it in the books, and we admire it for what it was, and we leave it alone, subhanAllah. And then we wonder why we're in the state where we are. We look at our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first as a father, before we go into how he dealt with other children, other youth. From how he was compassionate sallallahu alaihi wasallam with them in the household, and how we treat our own children nowadays. Now we have this hierarchy where the children are in this boundary where do not cross so many red lines. Do not speak this way, do not say this around other elders, and do not speak first, don't even have an opinion for that matter. You have no respect, you give respect, and so on. A lot of times things come from culture that might not really get along with what Islam have brought. For example, for those who are parents, imagine that when your child walks in the room, you are the one who will stand up and walk up to them to greet them, instead of the other way around. That will sound ridiculous to most of us, but that's was reported about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that out of joy, for example, when his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha wa ardaha, when she will come in, he will stand up sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for her, walk up to her before she reaches him, greets her in a warm way, and then will offer her his seat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many of us as parents or grandparents would do something like that to our children? Right? Now imagine what kind of emotions ran through Fatima radiallahu anha wa ardaha when her father sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do that. He would not even get up for those who are chiefs in their tribes, but he will stand up for her radiallahu anha wa ardaha when she walks in the room. And not because it's her birthday, not because it's a special occasion, her wedding, none of that. We're talking about normal days, every day. He'll be happy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he'll greet her in that way. Imagine the feeling of the children, the love that they will feel, and the love that will give back when they receive that kind of welcoming from their parent or their grandparent. And the reason I'm talking about this today is because I saw something a few days ago in one of the masajid. And we see this very often, when they will bring their young, and a lot of times it starts off very nice. Other people will look around and, oh, how cute. So nice. Look at this child. Oh, the things they say. And we laugh about it. And we just express these words of you know, awe and wonder and just love and peace. But then a few minutes later, that's when the boundaries come in. Don't say, don't talk, don't even move, don't even think about it. Right? And it becomes this rigid environment where they just feel that they need to escape. Right? And the moment they even speak up after that to just voice a need or want, they are taken away and they are disciplined. Right? And sometimes we feel like we are doing the right thing. We are teaching them to have respect for the masjid. We are teaching them not to run around. Right? We are teaching them that those things are wrong. But when they ask us why is it wrong, most of us won't have any answers. And most of the times we will actually be against what the Prophet ﷺ have practiced in the masjid. And a lot of times we don't think of the consequences that will come much later. About their relationship with this environment, this masjid, where every time they come in, they feel that they are confined in a prison cell, where they can't even be children anymore. And we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he dealt with this thing of having children around, and it's completely different from our attitudes that we have nowadays, and very different from how our cultures have developed into in the Muslim world. So for example, we look at the compassion and forbearance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in dealing with very small children. Abu al-Ala radiallahu anhu wa ardah, one of the companions, he said that I was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he was laying down, and his rida sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the top cover that we wear in ihram, something similar to it, have fallen off of his shoulders and he's exposed his chest and his stomach. So one of his grandkids, either al-Hassan or al-Hussein, came running wearing an izar, and that's it. So when he came and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy to receive him, he just picked him up and he let him straddle his stomach, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Now, first we have to stop here and think that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is laying down. He's probably exhausted, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from being a father, being a husband, being a leader, just in dealing with the issues of all of the community. And this is a moment of rest. And instead of saying, somebody take this kid away from me, somebody deals with this and let me just rest. No, he takes him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's happy with him being happy. And he takes his grandkid and let him straddle his own stomach sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he plays with him to the point where he starts to laugh. And then he stops. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts to play with him again, and he laughs again. And he starts to play with him again, and he laughs a third time. The fourth time he laughs so hard that he relieved himself. He starts urinating. So Abu al-Ala said, I jumped up trying to get pick up the kid, trying to get him off the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he's urinating directly into his stomach sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the reaction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, "Don't startle my child." I mean, imagine sallallahu alaihi wasallam not even worrying about the urine being on him. All the worry is that don't startle him. Let him be. He's still laughing. Let him be. Let him finish. And then when he finishes laughing and he urinated and finished, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up, took him, asked for some water, and washed himself and washed his grandson sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we can look at this example and the forbearance that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. The patience that he had, right, where it's not that of complaining or that of bajar or say like why or somebody help or just showing any signs of discomfort, showing any signs, it's to the point where he's telling the other companion, do not react, just so the child will not be startled. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's his attitude, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards the children. And that was not only his grandchild. It happened so many other times where a female companion brought her baby to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried the baby in his arms. And the baby also started to urinate on the clothes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. He smiled and just called for some water and washed himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no signs of him being angry. There's no signs of him being frustrated even. But with compassion and with love sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will deal with it. And when he actually dealt with children who are a little bit older, not much older, but we're talking about toddlers, young children, and how he just dealt with their everyday life, of how he would greet them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Most of us, when we are just kind of attacked by a mob of little children just running to us and salaam alaikum, or just greeting us, a lot of times we are caught up in our daily lives. And we're trying to brush them off, like, yes, salaam alaikum, move out my way, right? Or even if we give them the smile, it's very minimal. And our priority is that I need to rest. I need to do me. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you look at a hadith of him coming from a battlefield, we're talking about days, weeks, sometimes months of traveling. And we understand how traveling used to be a task and thing back then. Of them have to carry armor, carry and wear it, and just having the whole thing of travel on camelback, sometimes have to walk for the entire distance, and having to come from a battle where you are wounded, right? After all of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come, and every single time, the first people that greet him into Medina are the children. They will all run up to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love to be in his company, because of the compassion that he showed them. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam being wounded, being tired out of the battle, being tired out of even just the travel, he will not only greet them sallallahu alaihi wasallam with warmth, but he will greet them one by one. Not only that, but one by one he will give them a chance to actually ride behind him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he's riding a camel or a donkey or a mule, he will stop, get one of them to ride behind him for a little bit until they're half satisfied, and then the next child will get on sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, look at the compassion. Like, look at how he dealt with them sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was reciprocated, because they felt the love, so they gave it back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They loved to be around him. They loved to the point where some of the companions who were only about 6 or 7 or 8 years old used to say that we used to sit down at the halaqah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he used to teach. Young children who probably did not comprehend most of what was said, but they did not want to miss any of the classes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just wanting to be around him, to pick anything up from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the kind of treatment that he gave them. That's how we get the youth to come to us, with compassion, with good treatment, with good kindness, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. There's also a companion who was a child at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very young child who had a pet bird. He had a pet bird who died, and he was saddened about it. I mean, his young child, very attached to this bird, and this bird passes away. Of course, he's going to be an emotional kid. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say, well, he's going to get over it. His parent can talk to him, just say this, then that to him. He came sallallahu alaihi wasallam personally to see how that kid feels, to personally uplift that child. We're talking about a 5 or 6 year old kid. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited him just because his pet bird passed away. And he will come to him and say, Ya Aba Umayr, Ma fa'ala al-Nughayr? Oh, father of Umayr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will give them nicknames, right? Will give them individual attention to that point. So they can have this personal relationship. Ya Aba Umayr, oh father of Umayr. We're talking about a little kid, he's calling him a father of someone, right? Father of Umayr, what did the Nughayr do? The little bird, right? So he's sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking to him until that child started to laugh and forgot about his bird. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, how many of us will do that to children in our community? Right? So we're not talking about just our children, but we're talking about just having this environment where they feel welcome to be around us. They feel welcome in the masajid. So subhanAllah, like when it comes to the masajid, like, the children do not want to be here because, like I said, we just put so many restrictions on them when they come to the masjid. It becomes this cultural thing where we are more worried about the embarrassment that they cause us. We don't want them to say or do anything because we don't want other people to give us that look. We are more worried about that look than actually our children being comfortable in the masjid. So a lot of times when our children run around in the masjid, especially when the time for salah is over, or the people are in a downtown where you have a few individuals who are praying, you have some children who are just want to be children, and they start to run around and play, it might get just a little loud. And you have sometimes the parents, sometimes when somebody will come from a different part of the masjid, hey, this is not the place to run. Hey, don't play. Hey, sit in the corner, and no noise should come out of you until we are done. What do you think that does to a child? They do not want to come to visit this place anymore. And look at how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with it. We know this very famous hadith, and it's reported by so many companions, where the Prophet ﷺ was leading the companions in one of the obligatory prayers. One of the obligatory prayers. Now we understand prayer is the most important thing that we have in our lives. There's nothing more important than prayer for us. Right? So it's very important for us to learn that what negates the prayer, what nullifies it, what the things that I have to do to make sure my prayer is correct and is acceptable. We have to learn that. And we put so much emphasis on things that don't matter, and we forget the things that matter. And we see the Prophet ﷺ example on how he, when he was leading the salah, one time he took a little extra long in a prostration. And when he finished, the Prophet ﷺ turned around and he said, you might be wondering why I took extra long in one of the prostrations. And they said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, this child of mine, and he pointed to his grandchild, which was either Hassan or Hussein, radiallahu anhuma. And he said, he straddled me when I was in sujood. He took me to be his ride. He piggyback ride me, right? Or let's say lamb ride me before, make it halal in Jum'ah. So he was riding my back, and I did not like to disturb him. And this is profound. He did not say, I did not want to, or I dislike for him to fall off. He did not say, I dislike that he might cry. He said, I dislike that he might be rushed. He did not want to rush him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now imagine if that happens now. Most of us, whether you do it in a masjid or at home, you'll pull the kid off of you, or trying to do some kind of move, or get off of me, not right now, this is not the time, right? And probably after, right after, there's going to be some long lecture about this is not the time to do this thing because this is salah. It's important and yada yada yada, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he do? He actually prolonged the prayer until the companions behind him said that we feared that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam might have died in the sujood. That's how long it took. Another companion who was narrating the hadith, he said, I was so afraid that the Prophet first I thought that maybe he started to receive revelation. So he had to stay still because Jibreel is talking to him. But then it took so long that I thought maybe something happened to the Prophet and he fell ill or died. So he said in the sujood, I looked up. He lifted his head. And I looked and I saw the Prophet prostrating and his grandchild on top of him playing. So I smiled and I went back to my sujood. So this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is, how can you imagine after that the feeling of the children of being in the masjid? It's not this place where you are just told what to do and not to do anymore. It's this place where you can just have fun and little by little they pick up on the things we do in the masjid. Little by little they pick up that, hey, everybody's quiet. Everybody's doing this movement. And they follow suit on their own. It's innate. You don't have to force it upon them. They just follow. Because it's the fitrah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They follow with it. Especially when it comes with kindness. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا خَالَطَ الرِّفْقُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا ذَانَ وَمَا رُفِعَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَ وَكَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is narrated that he said that kindness have not been mixed with anything except that it made it beautiful. And it have not been taken away from anything except that it have made it ugly. So we have to make sure that we treat our children with kindness. And we have to think about the consequences, not just the immediate consequences, not about them just learning a lesson, but about how they're going to grow up and feel about salah, how they're going to feel toward the masjid and so on. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put mercy in our elders and to guide our youth and to forgive us from all our sins. Astaghfirullah inna huwa ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده محمد وآله وصحبه. All praise to Allah alone and peace and blessings be upon the last of the prophets and messengers, our Prophet Muhammad, his family and upon his companions. Brothers are asking inshallah to move forward as much as we can to make room for this work. So when it comes to our attitudes and the way we deal with our young, and it should really be examined and put against how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. And if it's something that we are doing that goes or is that different from how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, that we should drop off whatever we have and adopt the way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes what we're doing might not be necessarily wrong, but it's not the ideal if it's not from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a lot of times it's very important for us to really consider, not just if what I'm doing is right for my child, but is it ideal? Because we want the best for them. So not just what's right, not just what teaches them, but we want them to have complete success. Tawfiq in this dunya and in the hereafter as well. So we have to make sure that our guidance of our children is inclusive of that. That it have to be encompassing of not just the dunya but the akhirah as well. So we have to make sure that their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their relationship with us, their relationship with the rest of humanity is that in accordance with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have brought to us. And we have to deliver in accordance with what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have brought to us. We cannot expect to have the same effect that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had on his children and the youth, and the way we're doing it is completely against his way sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It does not make sense. We cannot be harsh and expect our children to have this compassion and mercy that they are supposed to have. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was once playing with some of his grandchildren, and one of the companions who was around, I believe it was Al-Miqdad, who was sitting around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saw how he was just very like playful with them sallallahu alaihi wasallam and kissing them, and he said, "You kiss your children?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes." So he said, "I have 10 children. I have not kissed anyone of them." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I can't help you if Allah took mercy away from your heart, right? I can't do anything for you. That's compassion Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in your heart or He takes away from you. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all from among those who are compassionate. And another example that I forgot to give of how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with children different from how he dealt with adults, because we saw how he allowed the children to be children and play and delay his salah and everything else. Of course that would not go well if an adult tried to do that, correct? But for children we give, you know, special allowance when it comes to those things. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once given a khutbah for Jum'ah, and in the middle of it he saw his two grandsons, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, walking up between the rows. And they are very young at the time. We're talking about toddlers. And they're walking up and they're stumbling on their own clothes and they kept falling. They'll get up and walk and they'll stumble on their clothes and fall. So the Prophet ﷺ couldn't take it anymore. He stopped in the middle of his khutbah and walked down between the rows, picked both of them up, and came back up to the minbar. And then he recited the ayah of the Qur'an where it says that surely your wealth and your children are but fitna. Right? To show that fitna does not always have to be a bad thing. Fitna is just something that you are tried with. Right? It could be good or bad. And then after that, the Prophet ﷺ continued with his khutbah, carrying both of them the entire time. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, we know how he used to carry Maymuna, his grandchild, right? The daughter of Zainab, his daughter, radiallahu anhu wa barahma. And he used to carry her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he used to pray. And he would put her down when he goes to rukur. He would pick her up again when he goes back up. He would put her back again when he goes to sujood. Because when she used to cry, he did not want to leave her on the ground sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he still wanted to pray, but at the same time he didn't want the child to suffer. So he would pick the child sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just the compassion that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. It's to the point where a lot of times he will cut the prayer short. Not to stop it, but he will somewhat rush in the prayer sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than usual, and sometimes he will explain because he's an educator sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he will turn around and say, you might wonder why I have rushed in the salah today. And they will say, yes ya Rasulullah. And he said that I've heard the young child back crying, so I wanted to rush the salah out of mercy for him. Right? Another narration, out of mercy for him and for his mother as well. Right? Because he did not want the children to suffer. He did not want that child to feel that it's just an agony, just the salah. Why do I have to suffer through this? Why do I have to wait? Right? Subhanallah. And the prayers are the most important thing. This is our time to communicate with Allah, where nothing else matters. But when he heard the cry of that one child, he changed his salah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entirely. That says something. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leading, it's not like he's just making an extra prayer to the side or nafl. He's leading an obligatory salah. And he will change how he performs that salah according to what the children around him are feeling. He will consider them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now how much do we consider them in our decision making? When it comes to our house, right? How often do we consider our children in decision making? From the mundane things to what we eat to the major things for moving or anything. Most of the times the children are not even in consideration whatsoever. Like we just, for us is an it. We're just going to follow and just going to do what we say. We're not considerations. Subhanallah. And then we wonder or complain, how come we are not getting good treatment back from our children? How come our children can't wait to get away from us? Because they can't wait to go to get the attention from someone else. Someone else has given them their attention. And they're going to follow that example of that person giving them their attention. So we have to be careful of that. We have to give our children the attention that they deserve and that they need. And we have to give it to them in compassion and kindness, in accordance with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have given us, to make sure that we give them the guidance that they have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance that we have from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But all along we want them to love it, not force it upon them, but we want them to love it. We want them to see it in us, in order for them to say, I want to be like that. Right? We want to be that person who they idolize, where they just cannot wait to be like you. Right? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our elders compassionate, to make us all compassionate, and to give guidance to our youth. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them to, and us to the best way. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah give us good in this life and good in the next, and protect us from the hellfire. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Allah, do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided us and give us from within your mercy. Surely you are a sustainer. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Oh Allah, we praise you and we glorify you. We bear witness that nothing, that there is nothing to be worshipped besides you. We seek your forgiveness and we repent to you. Wa aqim as-salam.